The reading is Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. I do not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
So thank you so much for inviting me here today to share with you. And it's just an honour to be here and to worship with you and to see what a fantastically vibrant community you have in this church. I have the privilege to lead Livability. And as I hope the films have shown, we're a Christian charity helping and enabling disabled people to live their lives to the full. And it's great that Tim has already shared those words of Jesus, that he came that we might have life, life in all its fullness. And we want this to be true for the lives of disabled people. We want to enable people living with a disability to flourish. And again, as the films have already showed, this charity and its work was established both by Victorian but also more recent Christian pioneers, people who were motivated by their own Christian faith to see the compassion of Christ tangibly expressed in care and support for people with a disability. And in Victorian Britain, clearly, there was a context in which there was an urgent need for the sort of care and support that the charity started to offer. And I think it's interesting that right, if we wind the tape forward to 21st century Britain, I think we're seeing that there is an increasing need, not a diminishing need, for the work that charities like ours do, where even with all of the state-funded services that clearly weren't around in Victorian Britain, we're now seeing the state struggling more and more to provide the support people need. And I think that the work that we do will be needed now as much or as more than it's ever been. So we're now supporting around 1,000 people across the UK every single day. And we do that by providing care homes, by supporting people to live independently in their own home. We provide day services. We provide education and learning services for children, young people and young adults. And we also provide rehabilitation services. I think it's very easy to assume that when people have a disability, it's something they've been born with. It's something that they've had all their life. That's not always the case. We've got a very committed supporter of our charity who's running the London Marathon for us in April this year. And he very, very unexpectedly, out of the blue, had a big stroke at the age of 50, you know, younger than many people might expect to have a stroke. He was coming to the end of a 10K run, and he thought, I've got a bit of a headache. I think I must just be dehydrated. And actually, it was the beginning of his stroke. And he had rehabilitation through one of the services that we offer. And it's enabled him to recover from that stroke as much as is possible. And through it, he has rediscovered his identity and the things that he is still capable of doing and giving to his family, to his workplace and to his community. So we very much support people who acquire a disability through the course of their life, as well as those who might have lived with that disability from the beginning of their life. So it's great to have just heard those amazing words from Psalm 139. It's one of my favourites, and it might be one of your favourites too. But in this psalm, we hear the beauty and the significance of being known. And that psalm affirms to me and for us that we are all known, that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, that no part of us is hidden from God. And the psalm points to the blessing that we have, the blessing that flows from our relationship with God, that we are acknowledged, that we are respected, that we are received by Him, that we are welcomed and valued, that we are included, that our days have been formed by Him, that we are known entirely and utterly and completely by Him. So the psalm affirms how important we are to God, and that His desire is to be in relationship with us. And that relationship is reciprocal. It's two-way. It's a relationship in which we both give and receive. And I think God's call is for us all to belong to His family. Right back at the start of Genesis, God perceives His creation and He is pleased. His creation is good. And we see right back in Genesis this desire that God has to be in relationship with us, to be in relationship with the whole of His creation. And in His creation, there is a beauty and a wholeness. There is potential in it all. And God's covenant relationship is universal. It is not fleeting. It is not momentary. It is not for some. It is for all. It is an everlasting promise of God. It is a promise that reflects how important it is that we belong, that we belong to God and that He belongs with us. In Exodus, we read these words, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. This message of belonging is a message for us all. God leaves no one out. It includes all members of His people. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, there is a perpetual challenge that where people are excluded or they're oppressed, there is a challenge to that. Where people are marginalised or overlooked, God speaks. In another psalm, in Psalm 146, we read, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. So God speaks where people are marginalised or excluded or oppressed, because God's message is that we all belong. We are all part of his people. And in the Old and the New Testament, just as in 21st century Britain, we see people rejected for their difference rather than celebrated for it. And at Livability, we believe, just as the films have said, that every person is unique. Every person is important. Every person has the potential to both give and receive. And there is beauty in that potential. There is beauty and potential in us all. And we have all got a positive difference to make to those around us. But we know that there are pressures too. There are financial pressures in all parts of our society, and disabled people are often the hardest hit. Many of the things that we enjoy just in our everyday life are still, even in 2019, not accessible to people living with a disability. That might be transport, it might be education, it might be just access to work and employment. It might be social activities. It might be church. It's great to hear about the Fusion Project and making church accessible for people with a disability. I know of a church that's just had its prayer week, and the prayer room for that prayer week was on the first floor, where it was quite difficult for some people in the congregation to get to. So even in church, we've got work to do to make church truly accessible for people living with a disability. But do you know that there is a 20-year gap in this country in life expectancy for people living with a disability versus those without? A 20-year gap in life expectancy. There's a 30% gap between disabled people and non-disabled people who are able to get employment. Over a quarter of disabled people say that they still do not have the choices that they would like to make in their daily lives. Nearly three quarters of families who have a disabled child have experienced anxiety or depression or loneliness. Disabled people are more likely to be economically poor. They're more likely to have physical health issues or mental health issues. And up to 50% of disabled people will be lonely on any given day. So at Livability, we are driven by our faith, driven to create a society where disabled people can truly belong and truly flourish, where they can be valued for their gifts and their talents, where they can receive the care and the support and the education that allows them to flourish, and where they can be connected with their community and have friends and live a livable life. And in the Bible, we see God using the most unlikely of people to be his chosen servants and messengers. If we think about the call of God on the life of Moses to mission, it is a mission to free people and to release people from oppression and inequality. And God says to Moses, he says, "I have seen the miserable state of my people. I have heard their appeal to be free. I am aware of their suffering." Those words are from Exodus. And Moses says in reply, "I am not a man of eloquence. I am a slow speaker. I'm not able to speak well." But God's promise to Moses is to enable him. "I will tell you what to say," says God. God was not deterred by what disabled Moses. Rather, he saw the potential in Moses. God trusted Moses to reveal something of himself to others. God reveals himself in the most unlikely of ways and through the most unlikely of people. So God's call is to that belonging, and that belonging that is for all, not a belonging where some people are excluded, but a belonging that is truly borne out in the life of Jesus. I believe as Christians, we are called to be more like Jesus. The sort of strap line that we use in my own church in Bristol is continually replicating the life of Jesus. And when I read of the life of Jesus in the New Testament, I see Jesus challenging the perceptions of those who are onlookers to the life of disabled people. And Jesus invited those people right into the centre of his own story. And his emphasis is on who they were and what they could offer. His emphasis wasn't always on their disability. So Jesus says to the blind man in the Gospel of Mark, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus wasn't driven by hierarchy or ability or success through the world's eyes. Rather, he was seeking out those that he wanted to participate in the Feast of the Covenant. So he says in Luke's Gospel, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame." Jesus invited all. He wanted all to participate in that covenant relationship. And we see time and time again the opportunities that he gave for the lives of disabled people to touch and to teach others. And that true equality was demonstrated in the way that Jesus included those who were typically excluded. And it was radical. It was a radical demonstration of his love. And Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you, you must love one another." And I believe that that is God's call on our life, for us to love one another, not just the people that are like us, that might look like us and behave like us, that might go to the same school as us, that might work in the same workplace. God's call is that we love one another. Both people that are like us and people that are different from us. People that have the same gifts, but people that might have very different gifts and talents. So our covenant relationship is a friendship with God, in which God is with us and we are with God. And as we reach out in love and service to one another, I believe this is the way in which communities of belonging will truly be made possible. Reaching out in love and service is not just an act of doing. It is a way of being. And I believe that in this way of being, we can discover the beauty of God's creation. Each one of us different, but a creation in which we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. In John 9, we read of the man blind from birth. And you may recall that the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him." And I want to just briefly tell you about a young man called Joel. And Joel is a young man whose life has displayed the work of God. So after a healthy pregnancy, Joel was born to parents who already had another two-year-old, a two-year-old boy. And so they were expecting that everything was going to go the same. This was the second child, no sign at all that anything was wrong in the pregnancy. But as soon as Joel was born, it became very obvious that he'd been born with club feet. And very soon after his birth, doctors began to discover a whole host of other problems. There were problems with his heart. He had holes in his heart. One of the valves in his heart wasn't working terribly well. Joel didn't grow particularly well, and that was a bit of a mystery that the doctors were trying to solve. And later on, it became obvious that Joel's learning was also affected. He didn't learn in the same way that other children did. And life for that family became a very hectic schedule of hospital appointments, of visits to professionals, of professionals trying to work out what was wrong, and years of uncertainty about what the underlying cause of Joel's disability might be. But Joel and his family were surrounded by the prayer and the love and the friendship of a church very like this one. And that love was shown in very practical ways for that family, but prayer was always poured out at key points in Joel's journey, when there were operations coming up, when the family were trying to find a school that would see Joel's gifts and talents, as well as some of the struggles that he had with learning. But through that, Joel learnt that he had been fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he had been perfectly formed by a loving God. And it was very clear that he had just as much ability as disability. And it was great when his parents finally managed to find a school that believed that too. Joel is now 19. I don't think he would even necessarily say that he had a disability. He's doing an internship with a local business. He has friends. He's really plugged into the young adult group in his church. And Joel has a life that flourishes. And it's because of the prayer and the support that Joel and his family have had. And the reason that Joel's story is important to me is because I am Joel's mother. And the reason that I took on this role with Livability is because I want other disabled people to have the opportunity to flourish and to be accepted and to belong. And at Livability, we can only do that with the help of others. We can only support young people like Joel with the help of people like you. And your prayer support for our work is our most valuable resource. So if you have been praying, thank you. And if you could pray some more, that would be fantastic. We need people. We need people to come and work in our services and volunteer in our services. We currently have 1,500 staff and volunteers that work across the UK. We do need pounds, because I think, you know, the resources and the money that has come from the state, from public services, is only going to diminish. And we need money to continue our work. But we also need partnerships. And we need partnerships where together we can make the impact on our society that I believe is possible. So we pray that God's hand will lead us in this work, and that he will hold us, and that our work may continue to be blessed and sustained, even in these turbulent times. But we pray that it will be blessed for his praise and for his glory. Amen.